If you would stand this evening, I'm just going to read one verse. You'll recognize this as the familiar passage it's often turned to for the subject of spiritual warfare. And it's that chapter that has that in there about the Christian's armor. We're not even going to look at that part about the armor. In fact, I'm just going to read one verse this evening. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me tell you something, you know, it's dark out there. And I'm not talking about the time change. It's dark out there. And that darkness is against us. Amen. I want to preach tonight on we got a fight on our hands. We got a fight on our hands. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me and for me tonight? Let's pray God would move. Father, speak to us through your word. Speak to us as a people. Speak to us as individuals. Hallelujah. Truly, Lord, you have overcome, and because you have gained the victory, we may have victory. We can fight. We can overcome. We can have victory, oh God. Lord, I pray you'd move mightily. May there be victories from this service tonight. God, we pray, oh God, against the attacker of our souls. Lord, we pray, oh God, for your power, your might to be made manifest even in this service. In the name of Jesus. We pray, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, amen. We got a fight on our hands. You can be seated if you wish. Because our son is in the military, and because of his position, sometimes we get a scare that he's going to be shipped out. And so mom and I, his mom and I, my wife, Sandra, we talk about that. We're concerned about that. And I've read a lot of military history and a lot of history about wars and things. And I know I shouldn't do that, but I'm concerned. So I say to Sandra, I said, do you know the officers that are most frequently killed in war? And the officers most frequently killed are lieutenants and captains. I want you to know that no one in the church is any more important than anyone else. The ground's level at the cross, right? But whether the church or military, because of the harm it brings to the whole body, because of the harm it brings to the whole battalion, the leaders are targeted, right? The leaders are targeted. Do you realize this? Think about this. I want you to think with me. Three of the couples that help on this platform as part of the worship, help lead the worship, three of the couples on this platform every service, it's the McKelveys, the Carrs, and the Hoffmans, each of those couples have a parent fighting cancer right now. Sister Sarah's mother, Sister Baker, and Steve Hoffman and Dallas Carr. Two of those are elders on the board of our church. We have babies that have been sick for a long time. Our lady Sunday school teacher is fighting cancer. None of them have told me this, but I know in my heart and in my prayers that some of our youth are experiencing all-out attacks on their faith. Some parents are pretty much extremely discouraged right now. Now, I'm going to say something here. I'm going to try to take care of a whole lot of theology and philosophy in this statement. Satan may not have punctured your tire, but he knows how to use your flat tire to attack you. Satan may not have given you the flu, but he knows how to use your sickness to attack you. Amen? You see, church, we are under attack. We have a fight on our hands. But in both of those statements, I have emphasized something that ought to encourage us. I said, we are under attack. We have a fight on our hands. What I'm telling you, we are in this together. You are not alone in your battle. You are not alone in your fight. It's we have a fight on our hands. And could I add with the we, not just us, but could I add the captain of our salvation? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to look at this verse of scripture tonight with the emphasis on the we. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We together as a battalion. We together as a family. We together as a people. You see, you have your fight. I have my fight. But you're my brother. And I'm your brother. Therefore, your fight is my fight. And my fight is your fight. Hallelujah. We have a fight as a church, as a unit. Because the church as a whole is under attack by individuals being under attack. So yes, we have a fight on our hands. But that only means we fight together and we fight for one another. Amen. You're engaged in a battle. We've come alongside you to help you fight that battle. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're in this together tonight? Amen. The church has a fight on its hands. Union Pentecostal Church, amen, has sustained continual attack for many years. We have a fight on our hands. You youth group, you could say that. You could say we have a fight on our hands. Some of you as a family, a biological family, you could say we have a fight on our hands. Maybe a husband and wife could say we have a fight on our hands. And I'm going to have to reach way ahead on this. But amen, we've already been singing about it. We may have a fight on our hands, but we have through Christ been ensured victory. Victory. Amen, not defeat, but victory. We've been assured it. We shall overcome. We shall triumph. We shall stand in victory. It's Veterans Day, and I want to call attention to the obvious in the church. We've lost a lot of veterans. Amen. We've lost many veterans of the cross at this location. That's a tragedy. But I told you in reading this military history, did you know when the battle is going on, if a veteran commander, if that commander is taken out, the next commander in line immediately, no ceremony, no questions asked. The next one in line immediately steps in their place and takes a command. Amen. I want you to know I miss those veterans that have passed away from our church, but I'll tell you what time it is. It's time for those others of us to step into that place. You'll never replace them, but you can fight where they've been fighting. You can stand where they've been standing. Amen. You can protect what they've been protecting. How many times believes it's time to step up? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me be real practical for just a moment. Sandra and I were talking this week about the attack on our people, our families, and on the church. And I made this statement because I believe it. If only folks would realize that the most important thing when you're under attack, the most important thing is to be faithful, is to be faithful. Don't give up your place. Don't give up your prayer. Don't give up your seeking God. Don't give up your Bible reading. Don't give up your attendance of church. Just be faithful. I want to tell you why. Amen. When we're under attack, either as a church or individual, we must have faithfulness because we can't fight if some of us aren't here. Some of us can fight, but the we can't fight. You see, it's faithfulness that keeps the we together. It's faithfulness that keeps the we as a unit. It's the faithfulness that keeps the we strong and supported. Amen. We don't need half a dozen unfaithful because we need the whole group. We need the whole battalion. We need the whole body. We need the we. We got to fight on our hands. Amen. Faithfulness reinforces versus the we. How many believes if we'll stay faithful, amen, we can win because he is faithful. Oh, hallelujah. I said he is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we become fractured into parts, amen, and parts that are at odds with one another, there's no way to win. We've got to put not just a few. We've got to put the unified front. We got to put that out against the enemy. I'm telling you, if you as an individual family, if you're fighting something, you need to be united. Mom and dad need to be on the same page. The kids need to be on the same page. I'm telling you, if there's ever a time with unity in the body of Christ, it's now. Amen. Amen. We need to have a unified front against our enemy. I've read something that's so sad. One of the saddest things I know. A married couple. And one spouse gets cancer. And the other spouse, instead of sticking with them and help them fight that cancer, that other spouse says, I don't want to deal with this. And leaves their spouse and goes on and tries to start another life. I'm telling you, if your spouse has cancer, we've seen this. Now's the time more than ever to say, you're my spouse, you're my family, I'm going to fight this for you. When you see folks have trouble, it may not just be, you know, external attacks of problems. It may be they have internal problems. It may be they've messed up in sin. But when one of our members gets cancer, it's not time to sever the union. Amen. It's time to draw more closely than we ever have. Amen. And say, I'm here, and I'm here to fight this with you, and I'm here to fight this till you win. Amen. So the first emphasis on we do not wrestle. And then I want you to notice the next emphasis tonight is we do not wrestle. In other words, we wrestle against some things. There is no form of fighting so close quartered and personal as wrestling. Amen. You see, in wrestling, unlike many, many other ways of fighting, you got a hold of your opponent, and your opponent has a hold of you. We have drones. We have warfare today that sometimes, Brother John, those things are controlled from hundreds or thousand miles away. Amen. Some military man sits in an office and controls a computer screen that kills people on the other side of the earth. Amen. There's no personal to it. It's all distance. Even with artillery and missiles, it's at a long distance. Amen. Shooting people they can't even see and destroying them that they can't see. Amen. Even with guns, you may see a distant figure, but it's still a distant fight. Even with swords, even boxing isn't the closest type of fighting. The most closely type of fighting is wrestling, because there's actual contact between you and your opponent. Can I tell you what Paul is saying here? Amen. Our enemy has come so close to against us, so much against us. He's not just in a distance lobbing missiles at us. He's not just at a distance taking pot shots at us. He has literally come and gotten his talons on us. He's got a hold of us. It's a personal thing. It's not a long distant thing. He knows where your weakness is, and he's got a hold of it. I'm telling you, this thing is a wrestling match. Amen. We're closely battling him. He has made it personal. Here's the thing I want to point out. The wrestling is not just with those external things. The wrestling is internal. Amen. I want you to know our enemy knows how to get so close. He can get on the inside. He can get on the inside of our minds. He can get on the inside of our emotions. He can get in the inside of our most intimate relationship. I said wrestling is close. What is the purpose of wrestling? Purpose of wrestling is to get a hold of your opponent and throw them down and hold them down. I want you to know the first part of that, the enemy has done to so many. He has gotten a hold hold. He's gotten a hold of something. And his purpose when you're wrestling isn't just to get a hold, but it's to throw down. Can I throw you down like your brother does? It's to throw down and to hold down. That's what he would like to do. And some of us are this close. He's already got a hold. He's already given you trouble. He's already disturbing you. And he wants to throw you down. Get you down. How many of you know that's why he's restless tonight? He'd like to get every one of us who are walking with God, standing for God. He'd like to throw us down and hold us down. That's his intent. But I want you to know, we don't have to be gotten a hold of. We can break loose. We don't have to be thrown down. We can stand strong. We don't have to be held down. We can break loose by the power of God. And then I want you to notice the emphasis. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There is so much said here, and some of us that might think, you would say, no, wait a minute, I don't know if Paul's right or not. He said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but I wrestle against flesh and blood because I wrestle my own flesh. Amen. So what's Paul saying? Because we know the reality is we wrestle our own flesh. What's he saying? He's not denying we wrestle our own flesh. What he's saying is there are forces behind and at work on our flesh. Satan knows we got to have a flesh that gives us problem. He makes suggestions to that flesh. He encourages that flesh. He incites that flesh. Someone else may say, well, wait a minute, Paul, we do wrestle against flesh and blood. I'm having a problem with some people right now, and I pinched them, and they are flesh and blood. And they're giving me trouble. They're giving me problems. Is Paul wrong when he said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? Well, one of your biggest problems, kids, is that other student at school. They're obnoxious. They say things to you they shouldn't say. That's flesh and blood. Some of you got a boss. You're saying, wait a minute. My problem is with flesh and blood. It's my boss. Right? My mother-in-law, not mine, yours. So is Paul right that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? I want to tell you, I don't want you to see a demon behind every door. But the Bible says this whole world lieth in wickedness. And as the people of God, it may be flesh and blood giving us problems, but we don't know the work of Satan and darkness behind that individual that incites them to give us problems. How many knows it's true? He's at work. He's at work. But the most importantly, when it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, is that we as the people of God realize our enemy is not the flesh and blood of our brothers and sisters. What Paul is saying, we should never be wrestling, fighting one another. Amen. Never. Why? Because we got the same Lord. We've been washed in the same blood. We have the same goal. We have the same destiny. Our battle is not with the flesh and blood of our brothers and sisters. We realize we have the same enemy, and it's not each other. It's Satan. You see, then Paul is saying one thing deeper. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. If that was so, maybe we would more quickly have victory. Amen. We can maybe do it on our own, in ourselves, through our own resources. But he says what we are up against is far greater than just humans and flesh and blood. That's why this battle can't be won with our carnal, with human resources and weaponry. Why? Because really our battle is against something that's non-human. Human, it's spiritual, it's dark, it's attacking. And last of all, here it is. He says we wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. All of that is arrayed against us. Darkness has come out against us. I mean, look at that list there. That's a whole lot against us. That's why having church is a serious business. That's why prayer meeting is a serious business. Look at this. Take another look. All of this is against us. Amen. Let's read it again. What's against us? Not flesh and blood. Rulers. It's talking about rulers of the darkness. Authorities against cosmic powers over this present darkness. Against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. That's a lot against us. Oh, I know I just read one verse. That all may be against us, but look at what verse 10 says. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. The Lord offsets all that other stuff. I said, the Lord offsets. The world has that, but we've got the Lord, and that's enough. That's enough. The world's got the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness, the spiritual wickedness. That's against us, but look who's for us, the Lord. And could I tell you, if God be for us, who can stand against us? Oh, hallelujah. So how many's going to believe that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? This is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in Jesus Christ. Undoubtedly, God's people are going to win. So why, Pastor, are you so upset and concerned about the battle we're in if we know God's people's going to win? Why? Because God's people's going to win. But there's going to be casualties amongst God's people. I don't want to see one more casualty. Let's keep together as the we. Let's fight this thing as the we. Not another casualty. I'm going to close. Music, would you come? Paul said, what concerns me that after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. That ought to be the attitude of every, hear me, it ought to be the attitude of every Christian. I don't care how long you serve God. I know things about the Word of God. I know theology. I know about serving God. But it doesn't matter how long I've served God, what I know, where I've come from. Amen. I want to have an attitude that I'm in a battle and I want to be careful lest I become a casualty of this battle. Problems can heap on, heap on, heap on, heap on until something begins to change and a sourness sets in and a bitterness sets in and the enemy puts the cynicism and the doubt and the skepticism in. Amen. There ought to be something in us. No, sir. I refuse to be a casualty. Hallelujah. Not only are God's people going to win, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I've been reading a lot about World War II, particularly from the perspective of Great Britain and Winston Churchill. But as I read about those battles of World War II, you know what I found? I found that over and over, Great Britain lost the battles. I mean, one battle after they hardly won. I'm talking about major battles. They lost in France. They lost in Belgium. They lost at Crete. They lost at Greece. They lost in Northern Africa. They kept losing. They lost in Norway. They kept losing and losing and losing. Battle after battle. Amen. And so at one point, Winston Churchill says, you ask, what is our policy? This is after all those battles were lost. You ask, what is our policy? I will say our policy is to wage war. Wage war by sea, land, and air with all of our might and with all the strength that God can give to us to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark and lamentable catalog of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? And I can answer in one word. Victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. Amen. Don't you know, Pastor, it seems like we've lost this battle and lost that battle and lost the. What's going to be our policy? Wage war against the enemy. Wage war. Why? Because there's but one possible goal and outcome. Victory, 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 victory. Hallelujah. You see, I know this. Though Great Britain lost all of those wars, amen, if you put it down on paper, even ultimately, Great Britain was going to win. And if you're an astute scholar of history, you'll say, yes, you knew, even though all those defeats, in spite of those defeats, you knew that Great Britain was going to win, because you knew eventually the United States of America, with its resources, was going to get involved. And with the United States involved, it was inevitable. In the end, Great Britain was going to win. You're exactly right. But can I tell you, that's exactly why I can say you might have had defeat after defeat in your personal life. We may have had some defeats as a church, but I can say ultimately we're going to win, because he's going to get involved. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. In fact, I want to take it a step further. He's already got involved. It's called Calvary. It's called resurrection. It's called sending the Holy Spirit. It's called the Word of God. He's already got involved. During this time, World War II, London's not only losing battles, she's being bombed. And an old axiom for the British military was brought up. Oh, I like this. The axiom was, England always loses every battle except the last one. I want to tell you, we may lose every battle, but we're not going to lose the last one. And I know that's a double edge. That means they keep fighting even though they lose until they finally win. I know it means that. But I'm telling you, I don't care how bad the battle is, Brother Casado, in every case, we win the last one. They can, amen. You can be sick and we can have that service right here, but you've just won that last battle. How many knows I'm telling you the truth? Oh, we're going to win that battle. Glory to God. 1,000,000 years from now, we will be in the presence of our Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Who wants to keep on the firing line? Glory to God. Keep on the firing line. Amen. Amen. I just got one more thing to say. Amen. Just this week, I had a minister from somewhere in the United States, a pastor, young pastor, amen, call up and so distressed, personal things, church things. Amen. And I don't know what to tell him. I hate to be in this age where young pastors call me. I mean, it makes me feel really old, you know, and that sort of thing. And you know, you're supposed to have an answer. And I just ended the call with this. Whatever else I said, I said, the only answer I can tell you is never quit fighting. Never give in to it. Never surrender. Hallelujah. Never admit defeat. Just fight. How many believes if we'll keep fighting, we will win? Oh, how many believes the victory is in Jesus, my Savior forever? If you believe victory's in him, would you stand and lift your hands across this place? Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's worship him. Victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. It's Satan that tells you it has to end in defeat. That's a lie. It can end in victory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I wish someone would believe that right now. It could end in victory. It will end in victory. We got a fight in our hands, but we got a Savior leading us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to be coming for various reasons, and some of them are personal, familial, and some of them involve the church. But we have Jennifer has lost her stepfather this week. Kim just texted in and her dad has had an episode. He needs prayer. Billy, amen, she texted just before service and has been hurt. Corey, his kids are sick. We have those desperate needs we've been holding up before the Lord. Steve Hoffman and Brother Dallas Carr and Sister Norvell. And we have our babies. We have Isaac and Olivia. And we have Lynn Townsend and several other of these needs tonight. Let me put my glasses on just a second here. I still can't read my writing. I'm just saying, we got a lot of needs, pressing needs. You've got needs. And I want to tell you, I hope you're not uncomfortable with this, but just so we can get the feeling of that we, I want us to come and stand tonight. Amen. I want you to go ahead and come, and I'll give some further instructions. Would you, ladies over here, men over here, would you come stand as close as you can? I want us to stand. We're going to pray. We're going to do a little fighting tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand. Stand if you would. Get in as close as you can. When you get here, I'll give you just a little bit more instruction. Oh, hallelujah. I didn't read the verse. I inadvertently left it out. But when Paul said all of that about the fight and all of that about the armor, he quit by saying this: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I want to tell you, right there is where the battle is won. Amen. How many believes that tonight? Amen. Fill up the wings would be good. Amen. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to be fighting tonight. Glory to God. I said, this is how we're going to be fighting, praying always with all prayer. And so I want to tell you, no matter how hard it gets, go to the prayer room again. Have your time of prayer in the morning. I don't care how bad it gets, keep on praying. That's the way we fight. That's the way we overcome. Hallelujah. Amen. Find someone appropriate next to you and say, what is a battle that I can help you pray about tonight? I can help you fight for tonight. Would you do that? Turn to your neighbor and say, what is a, ask them, what is a battle I can help you pray about tonight? Hallelujah. Then we're going to pray together in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. After you've shared with one another, I want you to go to war tonight. Fight for one another. Your fight is my fight, and my fight is your fight. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know the darkness is pressed in, but he's the light in the darkness. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, pray tonight. Pray for victory. Pray for overcoming. We don't have to lie down and take it. We don't have to wave the white flag. We don't have to give in, give out, give up. We can fight in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. God bless my brothers tonight. Hallelujah. We refuse to accept defeat. We refuse to accept defeat. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
In the army of the Lord.
Oh, we're going to fight. Come on, keep praying. Keep pressing. Don't give up till the enemy's on the run. Don't give up till the enemy's on the run. Hallelujah. Hold your ground. Hold your ground and fight. Don't give up until we put him to flight. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah.
United we must stand. Together, the church of God must take a stand for holiness, righteousness, unafraid to speak the truth together. Me and you. In a world that's all around us, it is
this,
bad
keep
what
praying.
You can get.
We're engaged in a battle tonight. Hallelujah. Give no quarter. Accept no defeat. Hallelujah. I believe in Jesus. He's the captain of our salvation. Hallelujah. He's the captain of our salvation.